I'd like to look tonight at the subject of the Lamb of God. It's a theme in Scripture. We learned and heard our brother in the reading, John 1:29. The Bible says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, look at, consider, observe, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So we know, in no uncertain terms, according to God's Word in John 1:29, what John the Baptist said, that when the Bible talks about the Lamb of God, it's talking about Jesus. It's talking about the Christ, the Lord, Messiah, the Promised One. Later on, John 1:36, as was read as well, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Jesus is described as the Lamb of God. Now, that designation probably wouldn't mean anything in our day to a non-believer. It probably wouldn't mean anything to a person who is unfamiliar with the Scriptures, perhaps even a believer that doesn't know what we'll look at tonight. But my goal tonight, as we approach the communion table, is to behold the Lamb. I would echo with John the prophet, John the Baptist, "Behold the Lamb of God." So we're going to look at several passages. Would you turn with me back first to Leviticus chapter 14? We have three passages to look at as we consider the Lamb in the Old Testament. Okay? Then we'll look at the Lamb in eternity. First of all, the Lamb in the Old Testament. Leviticus chapter 14. Here's a passage of Scripture in Leviticus. So in our day, the Lamb, you know, I mean, have you ever been around sheep, let alone lambs? What do we know about lambs? Nothing, really, unless you've studied, or maybe you've been around lambs. We're so interested in this that we did all kinds of wonderful things when our kids were home, and in the interest of homeschooling and that sort of thing, we actually raised a lamb. We called him Gideon because of the fleece. Yeah, because of the fleece and all that sort of thing. Sorry. But so we raised the lamb. But for the most part, that doesn't mean anything. We just, what did we do? We didn't do hardly anything with the lamb. We let him, that's a different subject. But what do you know about lambs? I mean, why did God call Jesus a lamb? Of all animals, why a lamb? But that is not so back in this day. I mean, it's a very, you know, lots of shepherds were there. We say today, the Lord is my shepherd. That doesn't mean too much to us. You know, we have to really think about it and study. In fact, in our culture, it might be appropriate for us to think, the Lord is my coach. We've got lots of coaches around. People know what a coach is. Or the Lord is my boss, although that might be kind of negative depending on your background. You know, but the title, yeah, the Lamb, that would have been so pregnant, if I could put it that way, with meaning when John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Boom! They would have had amazing sense from what that metaphor entailed. Why? Because of passages like this one and others. So when you get to Leviticus, at least this passage, you can say, well, I remember when we read that. And maybe it'll really help, okay? So look at it, Leviticus 14, 12. Watch for the lamb in every one of these passages. Leviticus 14, verse 12 says, "And the priest shall take one he lamb, male lamb, and offer him." What's that mean? "For a trespass offering, and the log of oil, and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall slay the lamb." Oh, that's what he means by offer him. Slay the lamb. Something wonderfully instructive to you and me along that line when we give offerings. You know, it's no longer ours. It's over. But here, he says, "And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering." Can you imagine that? Gather the blood and take some of the blood. "And the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear." Blood. Boom. The tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed. And upon the thumb of his right hand. And upon the great toe of his right foot. Think about that. It is so picturesque of the fact that we are in need of blood. And the only way you get the blood is death. Why did they do this? Lamb in the Old Testament? The lamb was a daily sacrifice. He talked here about trespass offering. He talked about killing it. And he talked about applying it. There's much more that could be said there, but I'm going to try to get an overview just quickly. Lamb in the Old Testament, daily sacrifice. Look back a few pages, Exodus 12. Exodus 12, verse 3. Watch this. This talks about something perhaps a little more familiar because it's the Passover. Exodus 12 and verse 3 says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th, keep that in mind, 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers. A lamb for an house, or for a household, family. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish." Wow. This is not any lamb. It is a very special lamb. I mean, in other words, think of it like this. You don't just go to the flock and take something that is extremely valuable to you because it can have more lambs when it grows, or because it could give wool, or because it could give meat. Very valuable. You don't just go and get any lamb and kill it. I mean, you're just going to kill it. What difference does it make? Kill it. You're killing it. You just blood, right? Just kill it. No. It had to be the best lamb. The best lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Why? Because God doesn't like lambs that have blemishes. No, he makes them all the time. It's because this is a picture of Jesus. No blemish. Perfect. Your lamb shall be without blemish. By the way, there was never a lamb slaughtered that rose to the level of being like Jesus. Right? No. Every lamb was cursed before it was ever killed. Jesus was the only perfect lamb. Yeah. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. Wow, interesting. 10th day, 14th day. It was kept for four days. 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Wow, it goes on and talks about the blood. The lamb, it was the Passover sacrifice. It had to be selected, no blemish, kept for 4 days, killed. You have the trespass lamb, the daily sacrifice. You have the Passover lamb. Hey, look at one more passage. Isaiah. Got to be in Isaiah. Chapter 53. The lamb, Old Testament. Killed, daily sacrifice. Killed, annually, Passover sacrifice. Isaiah 53, verse 1. I'll read extra verses here. And we know exactly who this is talking about. Of course, it's speaking of the Lord Jesus. Verse 1. "Who hath believed our report?" Answer, not many. "To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Not many. You and I have it so good. We are so blessed to be worshipers of Jesus. Then it goes on and says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground." But he will thrive. "He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." That is, there is nothing about him that causes us to look at him and say he's regal. His physical appearance did not draw attention to itself as being the God-man. In fact, he is despised and rejected of men or by men. "A man of sorrows. And this one who is the life is acquainted with grief." And our response, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. We turned away from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. We didn't estimate him highly. We looked at him as not worthy of our esteem. Verse 4, "Surely he hath borne, he hath carried our griefs. carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Watch it. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. That's what happened to Jesus. He was slaughtered. And yet, if you will, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Isaiah here prophesied that Messiah would be a slaughtered lamb. Old Testament. New Testament. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And this is how he did that. He didn't send away the sin of the world. He took away the sin of the world. He took it to himself. He was made sin for us. Our sins were laid on him. The eternal wrath, judgment, and justice of God was directed at that sin and received by that Savior, the Lamb in the Old Testament. So what about now? More. What about eternity? What will Jesus be like when we see him? Revelation chapter 5. Let's look at what Revelation talks about. This lamb metaphor is huge in Revelation. Interesting. Obviously not. We understand, right? This is a metaphor. It's a word picture. He is not... he doesn't have wool. I don't mean that irreverently, but you understand what I mean. He's not a literal lamb. But he is literally like a lamb. Not a dog. Not a bear. Not a gorilla. Not a zebra. Not a cat. Not a whatever, fill in the blank. Lamb. God created lambs. Said he is the Lamb of God. Look at Revelation chapter 5. Verse 1 says, "And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne." Okay, who's there? This is a throne. This is heaven. "There is in the right hand of this one that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals." Picture, we think book like what you're holding in your hand. Think not book like that. Think what a book was then. Scroll, of course, sealed. You know, seals on the scrolls, on the scroll. Sealed with seven seals. "And I saw a strong angel," which I might add is much stronger than you and me, right? "Proclaiming with a loud voice." I wonder what that sounded like. Thunder, doubtless. "Who," he asks the question, "is worthy to open the book, to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And John said, "And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open, to read the book, neither to look thereon." It is sealed. The future is sealed. It is unknown. Sealed. "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not." Watch this. "Behold the," not lamb, "weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah." We hearken back to Genesis 49 about the Lion, Jesus, Messiah, promised one. But he says, "Weep not, watch. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lion." No. Stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. There stood a lamb as it had been slain. That is, a lamb
that is bearing the scars of death, and yet he is no longer dead, he is alive. Who is it? We know. We know him. He is the lion, because he is conquered. But even as the lion, he is observed to be as the lamb. In eternity, I might say. Scarred. A lamb as it had been slain, but now he stands. The lamb will be remembered in eternity as crucified and raised. You will have no scars in heaven. You'll have no physical weakness in heaven. You'll have no memory lapses in heaven. You'll have no illness in heaven. But Jesus is as a lamb that had been slain. Astonishing. Hey, watch something else. Look at Revelation chapter 7 about this lamb, verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they, from where they come from? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. This is a conversation in eternity. I mean, the Great Tribulation has not taken place yet. This is all prophetic. But it most surely will and quite literally happen, I believe. He talks about, he washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb, the sacrifice of the Lamb, is not forgotten in eternity future. Verse 15. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And he is the one who will do that. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Why does God in heaven have to wipe away all tears from their eyes? It's because in heaven they are crying. You can't wipe tears unless there are tears. Sometimes people say, well, there won't be any tears in heaven. That proves there are tears in heaven. And it could be, I think, an extrapolation or an application to say that the reason why he wipes them is because if he did not, we would not stop weeping. That would be my opinion. Sometimes we make heaven out to be some ethereal clouds and dancing on clouds. It will be more real than here, more authentic than here. And but for the grace of God, we would suffer in guilt and shame to observe this price that was paid, this person who paid the price, who will for eternity future be the God-man, bound to a body, if you will. And yet to know that we may have frittered away opportunities to serve on this planet, dancing, playing with sin, because instead of living for Jesus, we chose to, you fill in the blank. There's more. Look at chapter 13. The Lamb will be remembered as the source of cleansing from sin in chapter 7. Chapter 13, the Lamb slaughtered is God's eternal plan. This is amazing to consider and think about, but it is so rich for us. Verse 4, Revelation 13, 4 says, and they worshiped the dragon. Watch this power. Which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast. This is great tribulation day, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him, this Antichrist and his false prophet? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him for 3.5 years to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name. We see the seeds of that already in our ungodly culture, do we not? Blaspheming the name of precious Jesus and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Shocking. It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Indeed. And power. power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb. Watch it. Slain from the foundation of the world. Hidden right in the midst of this gore, in the midst of this blasphemy, in the midst of this filth, this putrefying wretchedness, we find that God throws out this rainbow of glory when he says that the Lamb was, as it were, slain from the foundation of the world. This slaughter lamb is not God's reaction to sin. This slaughtered lamb, this redemption plan, is not God's reaction to sin. God planned this from the foundation of the world, before there ever was sin, before there ever was fall. God had it all planned out. How couldn't he? He knows all. There's nothing that can be known that he does not know. The sacrifice of Christ is not a response. It is not a reaction. It is not God coming up with some kind of a plan because we messed it up and now he has to fix it. No. It is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Watch another one, chapter 17. So much Lamb here in Revelation. I fear that sometimes we as God's children can somehow think that, well, all this cross stuff, all this blood, all this gore, all this sacrifice, all this suffering, now I'm saved, so all that's back there. That's a lying deceit of the devil to take the glory away. We will remember his sacrifice in heaven. How much more here does God say, often do this. We must have him. And we must remember the price that he paid for us. This lamb, chapter 17, verse 12. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings, 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind. That's not true with the nations today, is it? They shall give their power and strength unto the beast. All this worldwide, if you will, empire coming together to fight against God. Verse 14, these shall make war with the Lamb, with our precious Jesus. The nations on this planet shall gather together to make war with the Lamb. Great power they will have over the people of God. Oh, but not over the Lamb. No. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. Why? For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him, that will be you and me if you are saved, are called and chosen and faithful. The Lamb rules. He shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And one last verse there back in chapter 5, and we'll have this precious, glorious supper of which none of us could ever or will ever be worthy. Revelation in chapter 5 tells us of what this Lamb is worthy. Chapter 5 and verse 12. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb. This is an eternity, my brother and sister. We will sing it forever. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, not us, riches, not us, wisdom, not us, strength, honor, glory, blessing. Worthy is the Lamb. We will sing forever and ever, amen. Worthy is the Lamb. Praise to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. He is the one that deserves our praise. He will be remembered forever. He deserves perfect and complete praise. He is Jesus. He is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin thereof. Revelation 21 verse 22 says, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. And Revelation 22 and 3 says, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. Behold the Lamb of God.